First, we welcome a young musician who spent his youngest years in the land down under when Joel Smallbone and his musically talented family made the move from Australia to the United States. There were a lot of uncertainties, but faith and a passion for music propelled he and his brother to form a band. Though it took some unique encouragement from his dad to first get him up on a stage, young Joel now finds himself one half of the hit-making machine that is the band for King and Country, alongside his younger brother Luke. These gentlemen are coming to the Upper Midwest next Saturday, June the 6th, for the Joyful Noise Family Fest in Blaine, Minnesota. And as we open our conversation with Joel, who, by the way, introduced himself to me off-air as the older and wiser brother of the band, he gives us an update on what the boys have been up to and shares his excitement to be heading our way soon.
It is very busy, and I'm frightened that, pride cometh before a fall, that after my statement to you that it's not going to be a good day. No, we're good. We're down here in Destin, Florida, so not quite the Upper Midwest. But I will say we genuinely love performing up there and got to do Joyful Noise. I think it was sort of the beginning of our career. It was about 3 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, and just had a really lovely time. So we feel a real kindred spirit and thoroughly looking forward to being with you once again.
Well, lately your song Shoulders has really been taking radio by storm in recent weeks. Joel, it's also a really powerful music video that you released recently. Why was that concept of God being our true strength something that you wanted to craft into song?
The song was greatly inspired by Luke, my younger brother, who had a pretty severe bout of illness, had to come off the road, dropped down about 125 pounds. And in that time, it was a very physically hard time, but as a result, the domino effect is it becomes an emotional, mental, spiritual hard time. And he asked himself some pretty raw questions. And that major question was, where does my help come from when medicine fails me, when no human being can do anything for me? Where does my help come from? And he resoluted that, in almost an unreligious way, in some way, that his help comes from God. And so, going into the music video, we have an eye for theatrics, but we did feel like this was an opportunity to tell two or three different storylines that we felt were connected to a lot of things that we walked through at different points in our life. And let us know that this kind of what often is a very invisible presence, portray that in a very strong, visual, mysterious kind of way, with a sense of understanding that, hey, we're not alone, that this is, the world is more than just, flesh and blood, that there is other realm out there, and that not only is there other realm, but that other realm is actually what will outlast all of this.
It's a beautifully done music video, too. If you haven't seen it, it's worth checking out for King and Country on YouTube. Now, people can hear your great and fantastic accent, Joel. You have this remarkable story of growing up where you make the move as just a young man with your family from Australia to the U.S. with your older sister, who, of course, Rebecca St. James, starting her music career. Could you paint that picture for us? What did that look like, and how old were you when you made the move?
It was a pretty dynamic moment, truthfully, Ryan. My dad was a concert promoter in Australia, so for those of you who don't know, that sort of means that he's the one that would invite artists to come down to Australia. They would do shows at the Sydney Opera House and all the rest of it. And as you can imagine, most of them were American artists, and it's an expensive ordeal to bring an artist or a band across the ocean to do shows.
Sure.
One particular performance, he lost $250,000. So I think almost 40 years old with six kids and one on the way, my parents, dad had been offered a job in Nashville, Tennessee. And so they determined, well, let's kind of take a giant leap of faith. Got over here. About a month after we got here, he lost his job. And so we literally, Ryan, we were six. We didn't have a car. We didn't have insurance. We We didn't have any furniture in our house. We're sleeping on beds made out of clothes. We'd sit in this furnitureless living room, and we would pray for anything and everything, and saw what we believed to be sort of miraculous interventions. For instance, the first Thanksgiving we were in America, and I should note that Australians, contrary to popular belief, the rest of the world doesn't have pilgrims and Thanksgiving. For instance, in Australia, we have prisoners. That's kind of our heritage instead of pilgrims. And so the first Thanksgiving we were here, we'd been invited. This family just opened their doors and said, "Come on in." And we'd been invited in to their home. And all this food, I remember it well. And at the end of the night, the father of the house walked up to my mom and said, "Hey, I believe God's prompting me to give you the keys to our brand new minivan. So here you go." And
wow.
Someone anonymously paid for our little sister to be born in a hospital. I mean, it was just sort of event after event after event. Landlord forgot or didn't collect rent for about 6 to 18 months we were in this home. And through that, it knit the family together because we were raking leaves, mowing lawns. Mom and Rebecca were cleaning houses. And that was really when Rebecca started singing. And we, almost like the Australian version of the Von Trapp family singers, we all went out on the road and half joked that Dad needed cheap labor. And so he had, you know, 5 teen or preteen sons, and he put us all to work as the crew. And that was really, honestly, Rebecca's time out on the road was really what led Luke and I think, in many ways, to this point of being involved with music.
We're talking with Joel Smallbone of For King and Country, a fascinating trek from Australia to the United States and a fascinating musical career that is really taking off in the last several years for you guys. And you mentioned that you started working with the crew from a very young age. I'm wondering, as I'm hearing all of the involvement that you had in the musical industry, was it something performing the music? Was it something that you knew that you wanted to do from a very young age as well, or was it more of a process?
I always loved the stage, but I was always equally frightened of the stage.
Mm.
So it was really this kind of polarizing thing for me. And it was only my dad really, speaking of, encouraged might be not quite a strong enough word, but just said, "Look, you're frightened of the stage, and I don't care if you don't sing in general, but you will get over your fear of the stage." And so even with Rebecca, he kind of is a preteen even for me. He pushed me out on that stage I did the rehearsals and everything, but when it came down to it, I was like, "I really don't want to do this." And he said, "No, you're going to do this one time, and if you don't like it after that, then you can take a bow." But, as the story goes, I did it one time. I thought, I could do that one more time. And then it kind of... here we are, however many years later.
Well, that's a fascinating aspect of life on the stage, I think, for so many people who watch what musicians do, and people in many industries that are in front of people. But Joel, do you ever still get nervous, or have you, in a sense, just conquered that fear?
I'm pretty good, unless, like about a month or so ago, we did the Jimmy Kimmel show.
Yeah.
And those sorts of things get me a little nervous, just because you've got everyone in the room, Kimmel's sitting in the back, you know, you've got the guests from the show there. But the one that even trumped that was, we did earlier this year, we played the Today Show, and that's live. So, man, what you see is what you get. you screw up the song. Well, at least with Jimmy Kimmel, if you screwed up, like, we literally, there was the second song, we started off, and I have a megaphone that I used during it, and the megaphone didn't work, so I stopped the song 20, 30 seconds in, and I restarted it, you know, and the audience was none the wiser on air because they just edited that out.
Yeah.
Well, if that happened on the Today Show, you're done. Like, that, you got to make the most of it. So there's a certain nerves attached to the unknown, really, is what it comes down to.
Absolutely. That makes good sense. Joel, you mentioned, as we talk with Joel Smallbone, the elder, wiser brother of For King and Country.
Oh, God. You're not going to let me live that one down, are you?
It's not. It would be unethical for me to not keep repeating that phrase, I think. Your family obviously is very dear to you, very publicly known for being people of faith. But was there a process that you went through of making that faith your own, or was it from a really young age that you just made that Christian faith your own?
Well, we were very fortunate in that Australia in general is a very post-religious country. And it's kind of, it's a hard one because it's a conundrum because everyone down there, the economy is pretty good. The standard of living for basically everyone's pretty good. And so the attitude is sort of like, well, you know, why God? What's the point?
Sure.
It's much easier for someone who has a hard life circumstance to lean on God. But we were fortunate. Not only were our parents believers in Christianity, but also grandparents and great-grandparents that sort of carried this faith to us. And so I was very aware. I made sort of that childlike decision that you make when I was about 8 years old. But for me, it has been a progression. It has been, you know, getting into teenagehood, getting into even adulthood, and seeing God in these sort of different new facets, but still trying to carry on this that initial spark that I had, the childlike perspective on who God is. So I would say and both, honestly, Ryan. I would say, man, I had that crossroads and I made that decision, but the older I've gotten, the more I've looked at the world, the more I've studied, the more I've surveyed, it has been ceaselessly re-emphasized the desperate need for God in this world.
Can I just say as well that I really respect and appreciate your word choices? Your vocabulary is impressive, sir.
That's very kind.
Anytime.
Very kind. I try not to, as a musician, you try not to use cliches.
No, absolutely. And that I think the rich, you know, the rich quality of your lyrics, the rich quality of your sound as well is something that people have noticed. And you talked about the opportunities to be on Jimmy Kimmel, to be on the Today Show. And of course, you have these opportunities to minister to people each night on the road. But what is it about making the music that you do that drives you to keep doing these things, to keep going to shows and festivals like Joyful Noise coming up in June? What is really at the heart of what you continue to want to accomplish?
Yeah. To sum up in a phrase, it is a labor of love. And what I mean by that is not, oh, woe is us, this is tough luck. No, I mean, it is definitely, writing songs is not an easy thing. Putting together a record, nonetheless, is even more difficult. And traveling and being away from your family, particularly Luke, is having two children, and we're all married. And so there is a sense of sacrifice. But that labor of love, quote unquote, if you will, stems from this idea that this music has a sort of unprecedented ability to bypass the head and go straight to the heart. You find yourself singing these songs and you don't even know what you're saying, and then all of a sudden you found it that it's already sunken into your heart before it even reached your head, you know. And we have seen that firsthand, that these songs, that they've become people's anthem. That I had someone tell me the other day that he'd been hit so hard by this particular song. It was a song, I think, called Without You, that's on our second record, that Luke wrote about his illness as well, and his wife does a duet with him on it. And it's this man who he's a war veteran. He's struggled with post-traumatic stress and depression.
Sure.
And he literally heard that song. And this is a grown sort of man, and he pulled off to the side of the road. And he couldn't drive, and he just wept. And I'm like, man, the fact that a song, we sit in these rooms and we write these songs, and then we go out and we sing them, and they can hit someone in the heart that way, that's powerful to us. So I think that's what makes it. We do it out of love for God. We do it out of love for the people. And that's really the center of it.
Fantastic. Well, what a treat it has been to talk with Joel Smallbone of For King and Country here On the Road for Faith Radio. The band coming to the Upper Midwest Saturday, June the 6th for the Joyful Noise Family Fest here in the Twin Cities. The website for more information on the Family Fest is joyfulnoisefamilyfest.com. And Joel, if people want to follow the latest exploits of For King and Country, where's the best place for them to go?
I'm probably more an Instagrammer than I am a Facebook or a Twitterer, but all my Instagrams end up making, our Instagrams end up making it on Facebook and Twitter. So I would encourage you to follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram at instagram.com/ For King and Country, all spelled out. Or the same thing on Facebook, and our Twitter is the number 4 King and Country. But we're all over the place there, yeah.
Well, Joel, it was really a blast to get to know you a little bit more, and I know so many people looking forward to June 6th. So thank you so much for the time.
No worries, Ryan. Thank you for the time, mate. I really enjoyed your questions, enjoyed chatting.